Okay, let's start off the Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. The Ish Navuv Yilavev. The Ayir Pere Adam Yivoleid. We're in the middle of Sefer Hanamasi. Sefer Hanamasi is criticizing Iyov. Yes.
It's a little bit off, but you can pick up, or I can pick up, we're not in a comparison basis, Malachim, Yahushua, Shoftim, and sort of make heads or tails out of it without any Rashi or Radak. The other day, I picked up the old, I couldn't make heads or tails. Just in Perish Hamilah.
Yes, that's what makes Eov unique. That's what makes
that's
it.
That's what makes you be here.
You have a listener?
I'm
that's
not sure.
That's what makes you be here instead of
and like you said once, there are words in Eov that don't appear anywhere else.
Yes. Yes, more so. There are words in all over Tanakh that don't appear anywhere else, but more so in Eov than in other places. Yeah. That's what makes it difficult. That's why it's also each pasuk is subject to so many different interpretations, because exactly that's right. Exactly. That's exactly what's special about Iyov. It's definitely very unique. Okay, so let's continue where we left off. Again, we're in the middle of discussing the criticism of Sefer Hanamasi. Sefer Hanamasi is the third one of Eov's friends that criticized Eov for complaining about his sorrows. And the theme of Sefer Hanamasi is very similar to Eliphaz and Bildad HaShuhi. And he's a little bit more, he's more open. He is, he comes out, he's strong, his expressions are stronger than his predecessors. And his basic theme is this Ashkocha Pratis, that's number one. Number two is he very strongly tells Eov that you are a sinner. You are a chote, you have committed terrible sins, and therefore you are deserving of punishment. And where he goes further than Eliphaz and Bildad is where he says that the suffering that you are receiving is only a fraction of what you really deserve and what is yet to come. That's unique. That has not yet been presented in the approach and the theme of Eliphaz and Bildad HaShuhi. There's more to come and you deserve more suffering and more punishment. And then as we're going to see towards the end, what he does say also, what he does do that's different than his two friends, he elaborates very much in telling Eov that, don't worry, good days are yet to come. It's almost like Zelu Mazeh, that just as he's more critical than his two friends, he's more optimistic. And he reveals to Eov that you don't have to worry, this suffering is going to bring incredible bracha that's beyond your wildest imagination, your expectation in the future. So that's something that's very unique. Person can be very critical, but at the same time he can be extremely optimistic and full of hope for the future. Now here in part of his criticism he says to even Pasuk up to Pasuk Yud Beis, he says the Ish Novov Yilovei the Ayir Pere Odom Yivolei. The different interpretations, we'll look at them soon right away. He basically says to him that you're a fool. You are an Ish Novov. Ish Novov means an empty, hollow person, shallow. You think you're a tzaddik, you've done nothing wrong, and your suffering is unjust. You're foolish. You're an empty, hollow person. Halavah, he gives him a bracha, it's a blessing. Yi lovev, may it only be Hashem's will that he put within you, or you yourself take advantage of the opportunity to fill up your heart with chachma. Yi lovev comes from the word lev, a heart. Heart is always synonymous with understanding. May you one day become a man of understanding to recognize that your suffering is not for nothing. It's because you indeed deserve the suffering. Then the next part of the pasuk, ish pere, the ayir pere, odom yivoleid. An odom is born as an ayir pere, meaning an ayir is a donkey that is wild. Pere means of a hu yihye pere odom. paradam, a person that's unbridled.
There it's a paradam, but here it's
an ayir para.
It's not a paradam.
It's the other way around. First comes the noun, then comes the verb.
Ayir para.
Ayir para means
a.
I have ayir in my.
Ayir.
In the normal form, it's in singular, it's an ayor.
Ayor. Okay, so here it's ayir para, a donkey that is wild. Adam Yivalei, that the human being, that is the nature of his birth. When a person is born, he's vild. And it takes a lot of training and effort and chinuch yigia to tame, to domesticate a human being. So he's basically saying to Eve, you have not grown up, you're a baby. You haven't grown up. You have to take the second part of the pasuk with the first. We'll see this in a moment. But he's saying you're born. You have not matured to a level where you can have depth to recognize that your suffering is because of your sins. Instead, you remain with this naive and shallow outlook in life. That everything comes to you. It's a life of entitlements. You deserve everything and you've done nothing wrong, and there's no reason why Hashem should bring this suffering upon you. You're still holding at the state of Adam Yivaleid. When man is born, man comes into this world where he's nothing more than an ayir para, like a wild donkey that has no sophistication, no maturity. Let's take a look at the Pasuk Yud Beis.
Isn't there a part of the Mishkan called the Nevuv?
Nevuv luchos, nevuv. We have it over here soon. We have it in look in the mitzudos tzion. Nevuv cholul v'reik kamo nevuv luchos. The nevuchos were hollow, meaning that it was the letters went from end to end. The letters were chiseled through and through. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Beis. The stuff. Nevuv kigam hasochol, a foolish harek mechochma, a sochol, a foolish person that is harek mechochma, that is lacking intelligence. Im ki osa heamol mechaser nadas, if he does sin due to ignorance, im kol ze onosh yonesh, he will be punished. Why? Why should he be punished? It's not his fault. The only reason why I've committed a crime is because I'm ignorant. What am I supposed to know? I went out into the street, I saw something that I liked, so I took it for myself. Why should I be punished for my crime? The answer is because ki rohu li'ish navuv v'reik mechachma, because you should have known better. You should have known better. A person that's navuv, that's hollow, and it's empty from chachma, liknois, lave, you should have acquired for yourself a heart, lehishtadel b'chachma, to exert yourself in matters of wisdom, lahaskil darkei Hashem, to become wise in the ways of Hashem, ki kol adam kasher yulod, every human being when he's born, who ki ayir pere, is just like a wild donkey, mibli chachma, v'chasher yochan libo. However, when a person will apply himself, will go to a yeshiva, will go to some type of a system of, go through a system of education, yochan libo, he will become wise. It's proper for each empty, hollow person to prepare to work on his heart to accustom himself to wisdom. So he's telling over here, Eve, that you are guilty. An ish navuv should become wise. Okay, now he does not finish, and then he concludes the pasuk. The ayir pera yivolid adam, because a person when he's born is an ayir pera, and therefore the mitzvah basically is eating into the pasuk. Therefore, it's the obligation, it's the duty of a human being to exert himself to acquire some degree of chachma, so that he will know better. And that's not an excuse to say that I did not know, and that's why I committed this crime. So the basic gist of what he's telling Eve over here is that this that you are suffering now, you are guilty. And the fact that you don't realize that you're guilty is not an excuse. You should have, in your 70 good years of life, exerted yourself to acquire chokhmah, been able to uncover your innermost thoughts and recognize that you indeed are a sinner, and now that what you're getting is what you deserve. Kirashi. Rashi says too that in let's see, Rashi Ishnavuf Cholul Buloylev, a person that's halal at heart, Ashalohev in Dark of the Zanus in his own ways, Yilavev, Yikne Loylev. Same thing as the Mitzvahs. He should acquire for himself a heart, Lashuvul, to go Luboro, to return to his Creator, Ulfash Besh Bemasov, and to examine his ways. O Adam, okay, so that's one interpretation. So it's not exactly the same as Rashi, as Mitzudos. Rashi over here seems to be saying that, according to the Mitzudos, he appears to be saying that in the past. He appears to be saying that right now it's too late. Right now you're a fool. And it's not an excuse, because you had 70 good years when you could have and should have worked on yourself to become wise. So now, this your plea of ignorance is not going to save you. Rashi seems to be saying something a little bit different. Rashi is saying it's not too late. Right now you are a foolish, empty, shallow person, and that's why you claim that you are innocent, you have not committed a sin. But Yilavev, it's not yet over. You can work on yourself, you can apply yourself, you can exert yourself, and maybe you'll find in your deeds sins for which you will do tshuva. Then Rashi goes on to say, now it's really a continuation. Adam asher hoya ka ayir pera. It's the second part of the pasuk. A person that was like an ayir pera, limud midbar, which means he's accustomed to wandering in the desert. Kal b'loy das. Adam yilaveit. So here Rashi is very different than the Mesudos. Yilmad atzmo. He shall teach himself lios adam chodosh, to become like a new man, kiseidir b'nei Adam, v'yichavein darko, and prepare his ways. So yilaveit, according to Rashi, means you should attempt to be reborn.
Redo yourself.
So according to Rashi, the pasuk is it's a consistent. The two parts of the pasuk are saying back exactly the same thing. You start again. Ish novluf, a person that is currently hollow, empty, yilaveit. It's not too late. You can still in the future acquire wisdom. The ayir pera, a human being that is equivalent to a wild donkey. Adam yivoleid, it's not too late. The ayir can turn into an Adam yivoleid. You can cause yourself to be reborn. Don't remain born as a donkey. Bring it about that you rebuild your life to the status of an Adam, a human being, which is part of society, which carries with it the connotation of an intellectual, a person of Chochmah v'das. See, Rabbi Schwab, he brings down, Rabbi Schwab is very knowledgeable of all different philosophy, and he cites different opinion, an opinion that what would happen if you take a human being and you would just put him in the desert, just drop him off in the desert among animals, and let's assume the animals would be very kind creatures that would take care of a person. The person would not have any interaction with other human beings. How would he turn out? Would he turn out to be a wild, vicious, corrupt, bloodthirsty creature, or would he turn out to be a Baal Midos? We know that if you put a child in yeshiva, who knows? You put someone in a very combative and competitive environment, you know, it's a very big problem. And especially, you know, in different communities, they have very large schools, and where children come from homes where there's poverty, and everything is just to survive. And a child is put in such an environment where everyone is just there to survival tactics. Children don't necessarily come out in such an environment very good. But what would happen if you put a child in an environment where there's no social interaction with human beings? What is the natural tendency? What would a person...
With twins.
Yeah, they put them in different locations.
Different locations.
I once saw a documentary on twins that were separated at birth. They didn't even know they had a twin. And then 50, 60 years later, they were reunited. What?
Yeah, there's a lot of
studies. So sometimes they're extremely similar. The person's natural disposition. It's amazing. Like I remember saying this documentary where they showed before they were reunited, they asked them to dance. They split the screen. These two siblings, they were sisters, they were twin sisters. I think they were even twin. They were twin sisters, and they asked them to dance. They didn't see each other for at least 60 years before they were united. And the way they started dancing was identical. One was brought up, probably, I think it's Jewish, one was brought up as a Christian. And they were asked to, and they just started dancing, doing different moves with their body. And this is already 60 years old. How could it possibly be that they both dance the same way? Answer is, there's something built into their genes. And the same way that's true when it comes to that dancing, and certainly when it comes to their way they think, their mind. But this is, Rav Schwab just points out that over here from Rashi, it appears to be not so. Rashi here says, Rashi disagrees with this philosophy that you leave a person in the desert, the person will turn out to be an animal. If you leave a person in the desert with no human social interaction,
then everything is environment.
Well, to some degree, this is definitely a very interesting source, part of the discussion, because Rashi here says, "Oy Adam asher hoye ka'ayir pera," a person that was an ayir pera limud midbar. All right, I take it back. Rashi's not really clear. Rashi's just talking about the way a person, that's how he was brought up. He was brought up to be a wild, wild donkey. Now the Pasuk is giving him instructions. It's not too late. You can still work on yourself. You can change yourself. But the Mitzudos seems to say, look what the Mitzudos says. Go back in the middle. When a person is born, when a person is born, his natural tendency is it's only when a person applies himself does he become wise. But it's not really a raya from the Mitzudos, because the Mitzudos is not discussing midos. The Mitzudos is discussing chokhmah. And chokhmah, of course, certainly requires training and discipline. Okay, well, the question is, focuses on midos. Okay, we'll leave it with that. But we have here two different interpretations. We have from Rashi and from the Mitzudos. And it's a beautiful pasuk. This pasuk indeed is quoted in Chazal a little bit more often. The ish novel, yilovev, a person that is empty and shallow, it's not too late, yilovev, he can still achieve chokhmah. The ayir pera, a person that has terrible, horrible midos of being an ayir pera, it's not too late. Adam Yivolate can be reborn. Isn't that one of the themes of the Christians?
Born again.
One second, you can become a tzaddik.
Born again. Adam Yivolate. That's where it comes from. Born again. What?
Who was it?
Rav Chanan
ben
Hyrcanus,
who was being burned in the
Sefer Torah? Yeah, no, Rav Chanan ben
Tradion. Overnight, and the guard right away.
If you release the sponges, then you'll also be Muslim Machaya Ilam Haba, and indeed he did. Adam Yivolate. But here, okay, in one moment, Adam Yivolate. Pasik Yud Gimel, Im Ato Hachino Salibech. And now we begin a new theme. This is really where he winds down. He turns his attention and says to Eoiv, it's not too late. If you pray to Hashem, everything will turn around. Be mispalel to Hashem to assist you in removing your sin, and you'll be zochet to enormous blessing. Im ato hachinos libech, if you will prepare, you will direct your heart, uforasto elof kapecha, and you'll spread out your palms to Hashem. We know that in ancient times, not so ancient, but before not so long ago, the proper way to daven is to raise your hands. You lift your hands all the way up to Shemayim. Moshe and v'chasher yodim Moshe yodo v'govar Yisrael. V'chasher yaniach yodo v'govar Amolek. When you raise up your hands, then you prevail. And the only reason why we do not do this today, Chazal tell us, is because the Goyim, the non-Jews, they took this form of worship for themselves, and it became associated with the Goyim. So if we were to do it, people would accuse us of following in the ways of the nations of the world. So we have stopped to do it. But the proper way to daven is to raise up your hands. And that's one of the reasons why also the Kohanim. The Kohanim, they still do this. When they give Birchos Kohanim, they also, V'yitza'ar neskab, V'ar, he puts up his hand. So here, he's expressing himself in very explicit terms that if it's not too late, all you need to do is to pray to Hashem, if you will direct your heart, and you will spread out your hands towards Hashem. Let's see Mitzudas Pasuk Yud Gimel. If you'll widen your heart in wisdom, according to the sheer, according in proportion to your background, to your disposition, what your of your potential. Don't just daven like everyone else. You, Eev, have much greater potential than the average person. And if you will apply yourself proportional to your potential, the tifras kapecha Hashem, to pray to Hashem, what should you pray? Lahavir avoy necha, al mashakot sarat adhena, to remove the sin, your past sins, namely that your lack of insight, recognizing your shortcomings until now, according to the abundance of your potential, then you will merit what it says in Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit. Im oven biyaducha. Well, he continues. If there is sin in your hands, he further elaborates. If there is sin in your hands, distance the sin from your hands. Stay away. The al tashkein be oholecha avla, and let it not rest in your tent wrongdoing. Mitzudos pasuk yedalim aven im yesh biyotcha davar avera harchi keu mimcha. If you have in your possession a sin, remove it. The ezoy vaysa the al tishkon be oholecha tashkein be oholecha avla ki shalach te shalchena mimcha, send it away from you. We all know that this pasuk al tashkein be oholecha avla is quoted in the Gemara as the source for the halacha that you're not allowed to keep in this in your home a sefer she'ena muge. If you have a sefer Torah, that's a mistake. The clock is ticking. You have 30 days to bring it to a sefer to have it corrected. Because if you don't get it corrected, someone may come and learn from the sefer Torah the wrong thing. So 30 days to remove, to repair a sefer Torah that's incorrect. Okay, Rashi.
They have a safe cover on the outside.
That's just where the letters. That's just where the letters are fading. Are fading. But where you have a mistake, or it says the wrong thing, that's a different type. That's a different type of
a wrong word.
A wrong spelling. That is a flaw. If you have a safe, so that just due to age, and it's fading. That's fine. That's I'm not going to do anything about that. So you put a guard to indicate that you can't use Sefer Torah. But when there's a mistake in the spelling, that's a much more serious problem, which requires fixing. Unless it's at the point where you can't fix it. It's there are so many mistakes. So then the Sefer Torah is put in Geniza. But if it's Sefer Torah, then you may come to use a good Sefer Torah.
Well, maybe that you put the guard around it.
That's an indication.
You shouldn't use it. So
Gartel can fall off. It's not so uncommon. Gartels fall off, and you forget. If you have a good Sefer Torah, I know this because my father showed it. You have a good Sefer Torah. You know the ones that you use all the time. If you don't, you put the Gartel on the outside. The Gartels, they fall off. If you don't repair the Sefer Torah, it's very easy. Oh, yeah, the Gartel fell off, and you don't know, and you put it back, and before you turn around, you're using it again. You don't even realize. But if you have a sentence that's out of commission, that's already a whole different story. You know, it's so obvious. Old Sefer Torah. Okay, but here...
He's saying here, Chochma is associated with Lev.
Yeah. You love Lev, yeah.
Yeah.
The Chochma is in the heart. Right. What that means, it's in the mind, but what is it? That's an old question. What does it mean, Chochma is in the heart? Scientists tell us that there's no such thing. It's in the mind. But yet we do know, I mean, there are many documented stories, people who have yeah?
Moach, Lev, and Kloyos, right?
There are documented stories, probably hundreds of people who have received organs.
Obviously not in a physical sense, what's in the heart?
No. You can Google this. There are hundreds of documented stories of people who have received organ transplants. Organ donors, they received hearts, kidneys, lungs, you name it. And after they receive their new organ, they have different machshavas, and they have appetite. All of a sudden they like different foods they never liked before, and they have a whole different perspective on life. And this is documented. So we do see, from this, only in modern times, it wasn't possible until 50 years ago, something like this, we do see that organs, internal organs, do have an effect on the mind, on our taivas, our desires, and our outlook on life. So, What does it mean exactly? I don't know. We don't really know what it means.
Does it come in from the medical profession?
If you're getting an organ, people change the way they see
things. Yeah, well, also, most of them are steroids, and the steroids can affect
and other medications, right.
Okay, but it's more than that. I acknowledge a person has surgery. Let's say they don't get a transplant. Many of you hear this very often. People have surgery with anesthesia. They're out for 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. And they come back. They're different. So what does that mean? What are they? What you hear this all the time. If they come back, if they're under deep anesthesia, and they go through a serious operation, and they come back, right, they are just different. So some will tell you, oh, it's because their neshama was already on the other side, and it came back, and the neshama saw things subconsciously. And some will tell you that. Some will tell you it's physical. It's physical that there are studies, anesthesia, it's not so simple. Person is not conscious for a very long time. We don't really know what effect it has. Doctors are very cautious to do an operation for someone, to put someone on anesthesia for very long. They have no choice. You always hear the news stories where a person operation for a 30-hour operation. And they had a team of 20 doctors from all over the world participated in this surgery for 20 hours. Not so simple. Person's out cold, deep anesthesia, not a lightweight anesthesia. 30 hours, that's a frightening type of thing. And I hear the only people, they don't want to, I remember once about someone in the family in the surgery, the doctor didn't want more than 6 hours. He felt that for this person's age, it was already a very big sakana to be, is there such a thing like that?
Yes. It affects the blood flow.
The anesthesia. So we don't really know what goes on. Okay. But I'm not, you can say that an organ is really no different. But yet, I don't know, I've read these stories, I've seen things where people get a heart, and all of a sudden they do a certain type of food that they detest it, and now they love it. Or there's a certain type of, whatever, all different types of outlooks. So there is definitely something to look at. Let's go further.
He starts speaking pidgin.
Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Yudalin Rashi. Imato. Heisa mechuv mechavin libcha achar yisurin. Rashi learns, if you will mechavin libcha achar yisurin, if you will pay attention, you will direct your heart after the yisurin. Similarly, Rashi means to say the reason. If you will focus on the reason why you are receiving these yisurin, uforasta elecha kapecha b'techina, and you will pray to Hashem, you will recognize it. Seemingly, according to Rashi, tzofar hanamosi is begging, is telling Eve to confess to his guilt. Eve is in denial. I don't deserve this suffering. I have not committed a sin, and therefore I'm not going to daven. I'm not going to pray to Hashem to forgive me for my sins, because I did not sin, so there's no reason why I should give in. Tzofar seems to be saying, no, if you will focus your attention to the reason why you are suffering, why am I suffering? It's because I'm guilty, and therefore take the proper steps, pray to Hashem that He should forgive you for your sins, and He should assist you in recognizing your sins and distancing yourself from continuing to commit these sins, then there's hope for you. There's hope Hashem indeed will remove your suffering and you'll live a new life. You'll be reborn. That's seemingly what Rashi says. And you will distance yourself from now your confessed sin. And will no longer remain in your tent the wrongdoing that you have committed. Then Pasek, let's continue Pasek. Tesvav ki oz, then what will happen? Tisa fanecha mimum, then you will be relieved. You will lift up your head from your blemish, meaning you will be able to separate your neshama, your essence, from your blemish, the soul, from the sin. V'hayisa mutzak, you will be strong. V'lo sirah, and no longer will you fear suffering. Let's take a look at Pasuk Tesvav in the Mitzvah Lestavit. Kios kasher kein tase. When you will do so, os tonim panecha lemala nibli mum rotzolaymar lo teilich od shachoach uponim lemata. You'll no longer walk bent in your suffering and your face downward. V'af nich oivecha yirupe. and your suffering will be healed. The mum, the tihi bili mum. You will be healed from your blemish. Rashi Mitzutz very clearly says that the mimum here refers to his physical suffering. You will be able to lift your head up high, you'll no longer be crushed in pain, and you will be removed, you'll be free from your suffering. V'yisa mutzak, you'll be strong. You will no longer fear. Because no longer will suffering come upon you. Rashi pasik tesvav ki oz imato yisa betuach shetisa ponecha mimum shetigroim laatzmecha. If you will have faith that you will lift up your face from blemish. Shetigroim leatzmecha, you will cause yourself to lift up. Shloseis panecha mikol mum. Now, the Rashi seems to be saying something a little different.
The psychological thing. He says,
you know, psychologically that you will
change your attitude.
But tuach. Yeah, that right. You have to change your attitude that you will be free and you will be strong. Mutzak here means to be strong with a strong outlook on life. Below sira, then pasik tes zayin ki ata you ata here is an aleph, so it has to mean you. Amol tishkoch, all of your suffering will be forgotten. Kamayim avrut siskar, you'll look back at it like passing water. Just like water flows, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Water flows very quickly. When you'll think back in your life, you'll think back, wow, I remember a couple of years ago I had a terrible incident. It's ancient history. It's like the rain. The rain came, the water, the stream, the water came, the water went. It's no longer, you'll be able to look back like it never happened. Pasuk tezayin in the Mesudos. B'ki amol, amol tishkach, amol. Amol here means the suffering. Shahoyu luchot tishkach will be forgotten. Bavur roiv hatoiva v'rak ma'at tishar. A small amount will remember. You will remember bezich roinecha in your mind. Kamayim ha'ovrim mimakoyim, like water which flows from its place. Asher zichronim yishar ma'at b'leiv hanashim. The remembrance of this water is very small in the hearts of man. Ulezayyam libcha, you'll be able to lift up your heart for lotelech od shachoach, and you'll no longer walk in a bent state. I saw in the Rav Schwab, he says a beautiful word. He says, we know, we learned this not so long ago in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to making a bracha, when you make a bracha, for good news, the bracha we make is Hatoy v'hameitiv, or Shechiyanu. If it's good for others, Hatoy v'hameitiv. It's only good for you, Shechiyanu. For bad news, we make Dayan ho'emes. What's an example? It says in Shulchan Aruch, a person's house collapses, like Eev. Or a person's field is flooded. He gets a report, Katrina. He had a beautiful field. He had a land, real estate. Katrina came. Superstorm Sandy. Gone. It's been flooded. So then the Gemara says, this is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch elaborates, but let's say, even though it's bad now, but it'll be good for the future. Because, you know, my field needed irrigation. My field was a little bit too dry. There was some crops growing. The flood came, wiped it all out. But there is a silver lining. The flood irrigated the field. It brought with it nutrients from upstream, wherever it came from. So even though now it's horrible, this year it's going to be a loss, but the fact that there was a flood will be a benefit for me next year. Insurance, right? Government programs. My field was flooded. They'll send me a nice check and I'll rebuild better than I ever had before. So it's raw now, but in the future it will be good. What is the halacha? You still make a bracha dayin ho'emes. But when the Gemara gives an example for this complicated case where it's evil now, but it's good in the future, the example is a flood. So Rav Schwab says that's what it means. It will be kiyat amol tishkach kamayim avru siskar. The tzaras now that you're having will turn into benefit. It's not just right now you're going through a horrible period of time, and right now it's a time to say dayin ho'emes. But Eoiv, if you'll only be in the right frame of mind and acknowledge that you deserve it, and it's for your good, it's for your benefit, then years later you'll look back and you'll look back at this sorrow, and you'll see that it really was a stepping stone for much greater things. So it's a klola now, but it's a klola that can turn into a bracha in the future. It's not just a pure klola. And that's why he very precisely illustrates Sefer Hanamasi, the sorrow that he's going through. It'll be like that example in the Gemara of a flood which is a source of bracha for the future.
So did they talk to make a dynamis, people in Hurricane Samuel?
They should. I would imagine they would. Yeah, it fits all. It fits. We heard they had more media problems.
You can't make it right immediately. You can't make it later.
Well, there's a whole shaila. You only can make it right away. We learned that in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Good news. You only can make it right away. The clock is ticking. You have to be in a state of simcha, and l'chayra, you have to be in a state of tsar. So once the person gets used to the situation, there's a shaila how long. 3 days. I think we learned 3 days. When it comes to good news, it's 3 days. Bad news, the chayra, is the same thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a longer period of time for bad news. I don't know. Okay. Let's see the Rashi pasuk tes zayin. Amol tishkach v'chol amol hayisa shachach. All of the amol hayisa shachach, you'll forget. Chamayim avu v'chol fu kein yelecha kol zichron amol, and it'll pass like water. You'll forget all of your hard times. Pasuk tes zayin. Pasuk yud zayin. Umit, it's a hard pasuk. Difficult pasuk. Umit saharayim yakum cholet taufa kaboker tihiyeh. Let's go one thing at a time. The word ta'ufa does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. The Mitzudos will translate it as darkness. Okay, so we'll just take the end of the pasuk, and that will help us with the end of the pasuk. Okay, but it's not with an aleph. It's with an aleph, now with an ayin. Okay, so aleph and ayin are interchangeable. Okay. In Chanam, that's maybe why the Mitzudos says it's in Yechoshach. We're going to translate darkness. Your darkness will be transformed into light. No, Bab Kaboker. Ta'ufa. That if you misspell to Hashem, you acknowledge that your sins, that you have sinned, and you do tshuva, and you pray, then your darkness, Kaboker Tihye, will be transformed into morning, into light. Now, once we know the end of the pasuk, that gives us a possibility to understand the beginning of the pasuk. But first, we have to know the word cholet. Cholet is a very difficult word. Here the Mitzudah says it means Zman. Kol Yoshvei Cholet, we usually translate as the earth. We usually translate it in many piyutim, it appears, Kol Yoshvei Cholet, all of those people who live on the earth. Here the Mitzudah is translating it Zman. Now it's not a contradiction because there's nothing more gashmi in this world, we want to explain this, than time. Time, the concept of time is possibly the most davar gashmi. On the one hand, it's a contradiction, it's a paradox. On the one hand, there's nothing that's more intangible than time. Time is something that we have the most intangible thing. Anything that's not tangible is automatically associated with spirituality. But in the world of spirituality, we know hoya hove v'yia. There's no such thing as past, present, future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoya hove v'yia. We live in a world of time. Time is the complete opposite of ruchnia, so it's
limited, and spirituality in Hashem
is unlimited. So it's the ultimate time is the ultimate paradox. It's yet has a quality of spirituality beyond anything else in this world, but yet it is the most gashmi because the essence of spirituality is hoya hove v'yia. There's no such thing as time; it's all the same, and that's what time is. So, it's not a contradiction. The word choled means both zman and also means the earth because the earth is gashmi, is physical, and what is the even more physical than the earth?
No,
time.
It's both of them. It's space and time.
Space and time. But they have represent the concept, they want space-time.
According
to
the Einstein space,
it would
be the parameter of time. Right? I don't know. I'm not an expert on Einstein, but we live in a world of time and space.
We live in time and space. Exactly.
But depends on time.
But it's a very different, different sciences. Time and space are two different worlds. Time and space are two different fields. And yet we have one word which is encompassing both. The one choled, it's very commonly translated as place, space. And yet, from the context over here, the way the Mepharshim want to learn it means time. It's two different worlds. How can you say to me the answer is, well, don't focus on the physical nature of these two items, focus on the concept. And the concept is Gashmius. It's Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh verse Olam Haba. That's what he means to say. Umitzarayim Yokum. So now, when we know the end of the pasuk, we can translate in the pasuk. There's going to be a missing word, and the missing word is that the time you have left in this world will be brighter, will be brighter than the Tzahara. There's something to think about. It just means chola means the time you have left, the time you Eve have left in this world. You're only 70 years. 70 is the new 30 today. You have a lot of time left to live in this world. The time you have left will be so bright, its intensity will be greater than the sun shining at midday. Right now, Eve, the world is very dark for you. You have a lot of tsar. You lost your children, you lost your assets, you lost everything. You're dark. Life is dark. Don't worry, Eve. Do tshuva. Confess. Recognize your sins. Become wise. And then when you'll pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your sorrows will be forgotten. Umitzoharayim. And your light will shine greater than the intensity of midday. Yokum will rise. Choled, the time you have left in this world. And then he repeats himself by saying, Ta'ufa, your darkness, Kaboker Tia will be bright like the day. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Tzavit, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yokum Cholet. Yokum L'cho Zman, Meir, it will rise for you a time that will cast light, that will radiate. Yoiser, more, Me'es Hatzarayim, more than the time of midday.
The word means rise here.
Rise means Yokum. It says in the pasuk, "Umitzarayim, more than the light of midday yakum will rise v'cholet a time in this world, meaning that your remaining days, ta ufa es hachoshech, the time of darkness, tahapech lios meir karaboki will be transformed into a time of light." Okay, so this is the translation of the pasuk according to the Mitzudos David. Now look at Rashi. Rashi a little more complex. Rashi, long Rashi. Pasuk Yitzayim. Umitzarayim yokum cholet. So he first starts off like the Mitzudos. Yoiser me'art saharayim. More than the or of midday. Yokum l'cha cholet. What is that? So Rashi right away injects. It means mazel uzman. A little bit different than the Mitzvah. See, it's one more word. Your fate, your fortune. Your fortune and the time you have left in living on this world. So it's a little bit more flavor. Kemo, where do I find the word cholod, meaning my mazel and my time on this world? V'chaldi ke'ayin negdecha. My time on this world, k'neged Yuh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is nothing. I'm only here in this world for a fleeting moment. Yuh HaKadosh Baruch Hu are chai lo'olam. Okay, that's Rashi's first interpretation, which is similar to the Mitzudos, that you will have yet a good time in this world, and that time will shine brighter than the midday light. Dover acher, yakum choled kmo yakum or chaluda shelcha. Chaluda means rust. Okay, the or chaluda kloimar sheyia mokaim afela. Neir Yoiser will shine more. May Ort Soharayim. Sheyimakom af Neir Yoiser may Ort Soharayim. So Choled means darkness. What is rust? Rust is decay, which means something has gone wrong. Something is not the way it's supposed to be. We have over here a beautiful piece of metal. And the elements have caused there to be decay. So we're using this in the sense that when there's light, you're living a good life, and then guess what? Things don't go well. The light of your life has rusted. You're living a good life. Everything is good. And we're comparing that to light. When things don't go well, the metaphor is, your light has rusted. Don't worry. That rust will be removed, will be repaired, and it will be brighter than the light of midday. So here we have another interpretation for Chol Lashon of Chaluda. And that's seemingly how Rashi learns.
That's what the second shot means? I think the second shot means it's behind Yochum Chol, and he's talking about the past.
The future.
No, you had a good life. Yochum Chol, and it got really bad. And then to Ufa Kavokar Tiyah. That Choshek, that darkness, will turn into light of morning.
But what about the word B'Tzoharayim? The word, look at the word Davrach, Yakum Chaled, what does it mean Yakum? Kamo Yakum or Chaluda. It will rise up a light of Chaluda Shalacha. Or Chaluda means darkness. What do you mean? Kiloimar, he explains now, Kiloimar. Sheyiye Mokoim Afna. I don't think this Afela is not the next word. I don't think he's connecting it. The Afela refers to the Cholet. The word Afela is now referring to the end of the pasuk, if I'm not mistaken. Let's just see a few more words. Your place of darkness, which I'm assuming means your Cholet, your place of darkening, Meir will brighten Yosemi or Tzoharayim. Going back to the beginning of the pasuk, that it will be Tzoharayim, it will be greater than Tzoharayim, the light, it will be more than Tzoharayim, Yochum will replace the Choled, the darkness. Basically, Choled just basically means it's another word for darkness.
Makes sense. This is the way he does a lot of the sentences.
Well, it's not necessarily, because there is inconsistency. Even according to Rashi, there's always, we break the rules every other pasuk, according to everyone. if you want to mix and match from all the Rishonim, then maybe you're right, you can be consistent. But if you want to look at each one of the Mefarshim, they seemingly contradict each of themselves every so often. That's Zushamati, that's the second interpretation. Avol harishon lo nireh. The first interpretation doesn't seem to be correct. It's a very unusual way for Rashi to write. Zushamati and the Rishon, Avol harishon lo nireh. That's very.
What's that abbreviation?
Svarim acherim enoy. In other books, this version doesn't appear. This last phrase, or maybe it means the whole thing. I don't know. Or the whole thing, the whole Rashi. Right. I don't know what he's referring to. All it says is Svarim acherim enam or eno. This does not appear. Okay, so basically, we take out it's a very beautiful word, a new word, which in the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, Choled Dir means the earth. Here, the Mitzudah says, without any hesitation, means Zaman. Rashi gives a little more flavor, it means your time on the earth, your mazel, your fate, the amount of time, mazel Zaman. That's what Rashi says. That's Rashi's first interpretation. And the second interpretation is Taishin Choled to mean rust. Chaluda, and from the context it means darkness. When the light does not shine the way you want, then it means that the light has rusted, which means darkness. Now at the end of the pasuk, ta'ufa, darkness, afeila shalcha. Okay, so therefore, so far so good. He's being consistent with the Mitzvah Stavid, it means darkness. Kaboker tia, period. Inyan acher, another interpretation. Ta'ufa means the rays. Doesn't mean darkness. It means dawn. It means the breaking. It means the kreis hagever, when the rays of dawn. Linyan acher loshen af ape shachar, the rays of dawn. That means that your rays of dawn will be bright like the boker, like midday. Instead of it saying your darkness will turn into light, it means no. The little flashlight will be powerful like the sun. How do I know that it cannot possibly mean darkness, like in my first interpretation, Rashi says? If it's darkness, and we're going to interchange the ayin and the aleph, then the ayin should be nakud b'shva, it should be te'ufa, not ta'ufa with a shurak. Under the ayin there's a shurak. I don't know anything about dikduk, but according to the rules of grammar, Rashi says it's not grammatically correct. It's not a shurak, but it should be a shva. Kamo tenufa, tekuma, teruma, tenuma. Under the tough. There is a shurik. I'm sorry. Just a shurik versus a molein versus chaser. Right. Instead of taufa, it should be teufa. Teufa. It should be a shva, not . Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. How are you feeling? It's Mois and Nefesh to come. Okay, so he's saying over here, this other interpretation, it means... It means if it would be darkness, if the word ta'ufa means darkness, it should not be ta'ufa with a komatz underneath the tuf. It should be with a shva. Ti'ufa.
Yeah,
I think it changes from a verb to a noun.
He's just giving examples. Tinufa, to wave. Tikuma, tiruma, tinuma. He just gives different examples. Okay, I'm not book. I don't know diktok. But based upon the rules of grammar, if it means darkness, it means a noun, then it should be. It's a noun in darkness. It's a no. The word is no different than all these other words, and it should follow the rules with a shva. The fact that it doesn't have a shva as a komatz indicates that it's a more complex word. It means the breaking of dawn. It's maybe a verb. It means when morning breaks forth, which means the breaking of dawn, the rays of dawn, those small little light, that teeny little ray of light, will be so bright like the boker. Okay, so a very simple pasuk with many perushim, both in the beginning and the end. Now we come to pasuk Yud Ches. Uvatachta, you shall have faith. He's telling here, seemingly, to be be in a good frame of mind, Eev. Don't give up. Uvatachta, ki yesh tikva. Have faith that there's hope. Okay, that's a beautiful expression. Have faith that there's hope. Vichafarta, lovetach tishkat. Now, that's subject to much interpretation. Well, I'll translate now for the moment. You shall dig yourself in well. In other words, anchor yourself. Dig. One interpretation is build a protection around your bed. V'chafarta means to dig, levetach tishkav, and you will dwell in a state of security. Let's take a look at the Mesudo Stol Pasuk Yud Ches V'tachta. Teshev betach, Eloif, cheer up. Don't be depressed, don't be sad. Have faith. Ki yesh tikva, l'sheves betach, kasher kein tases, as you will do, v'chafarta, as will kasher kein, so shall ta'ase, so shall you do, v'chafarta, ki ilu chafarta svivecha chafira amuka, you've dug a ditch around your dwelling place, lebal kodav elecha, that no one can come near you, you're secure. You dig, in the army, when you want to have a security, you dig a trench.
A moat,
fill up with water. But you dig a trench around you, digging a trench around you with a sense of security, the enemy cannot advance. Leval korvelecha, kein tishkav, so just like in people, they dig trenches around their dwelling place, so too kein tishkav, levetach, miblimach, you should not be afraid. So what the Mitzudas has done, it's important to keep in mind, is vichafarta means to dig. Okay, and tishkav means to dwell. You shall dwell, live the rest of your life in a sense of security. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Yud Ches, there is no Yud Ches. Now, I don't remember, see, I didn't prepare properly, but of Schwab elaborates very much on this Pasik. And he says, the Chofarta means to search. Where do we find it? We find it by the Meraglim. Do you remember the Pasik offhand?
Lachpor.
Yeah, Lachpor. Lachpor es Haaretz. So he translates it to mean that you shall. It's another way of search for security. Uvatachta, you shall faith ki yesh tikva. Vichofarta, search for ways in your mind that levetach tishkov.
Dig for information.
No, it's change your attitude. Don't sit here and depressed and feel like you're a nebuch. Work on yourself. Explore. Your mind should explore ways to seek your betterment. That you should live out the rest of your life in a state of betach. Okay, so it's a whole different approach to the word of the chafarat. That's now. Then the Rav Shab also says another very interesting idea that we have to go back a few psukim. In the previous psukim, Sefer Hanamasi is telling if Eev, you're a rasha, you're a very great sinner. And you're a foolish person. You've wasted 70 years by not studying chokhmah, by not working on yourself to discover that you have major flaws. But it's not too late. It's not too late. Ish novav yilovev ayir pere adam yivale. We mentioned before. You can still. And if you do take advantage of the opportunity that you have left in the days that you have left in this world, then at least in the next world, you'll be safe and secure. Because at the rate that you're going, not only are you going to suffer out the rest of your days in this world, just wait until you get to the next world. That's where your trouble will first begin. Then you'll go to Gehenna. But if Eev, you'll work on yourself, then you'll do everything that I told you to do, to be mispalel and to put away all of your sins, then uvatachta, then you can have at least hope that in the next world you'll be okay. When they'll dig the grave for you, that's how Rav Schwab translates the words, the chofarta, like the mitsudos, when they'll dig what? Not like the mitsudos says, they'll dig a trench around your house, you'll have a moat, and you'll have security cameras, and ultra-high-tech gadgets that will make sure that you're protected and you'll have a life of security, a metaphor for your security. No. When they'll dig the grave for you and your neshama is being lowered, don't worry. Levetach tishkov. You'll lie in your grave in a state of security. You'll go to Olam Haba. That's how he teaches. So two different changes. Chafarta is the grave, and Tishkov is death. And he's giving him advice. Yoiv, I'm warning you, do tshuva, because at least you can save yourself in the next world. The Mitzudas doesn't go with that approach. If you notice, consistently, everything we've learned so far, the Mitzudas is not that much, is not concerned with Olam Haba. He's focusing 99% on Olam Hazeh. But a lot of the Lefarshim, they want to take your idea of you're a goner. This world, it's all over. But at least use this as an opportunity to prepare your neshama for Olam Haba. And that fits very nicely into this pasuk here. The Chofarta Levetach Tishkav.
If Yov was Jewish or not?
Not necessarily. I don't know why you have to say that. Even if Yov was not Jewish, Goyim don't have the afterlife. They certainly do.
But they certainly concentrate. Don't worry about this life. Worry about the other.
We're not dealing with Stam Goy. We're dealing with Yov. This is part of the Sifrei Tanakh. Goyim, I think everyone agrees that Goyim, there's no question, have some form of the afterlife.
At what point in history did they come to that conclusion? In other words, how far back did that concept come to fruition?
That they have Olam Haba, some form of concept.
Olam Haba, at what point in history would depend on when Eev was?
Yeah, I guess so.
Paras Dore,
this
year. You can't say that.
I don't know.
This year was the time of Eev.
Okay. Maybe that could have been. I don't know.
Okay, let's try to finish up the parak. Pasik yud test viravatsta v'ein macharid. You will lie down. This continues simply. You'll be in the state of security. You'll be in a state of happiness. You'll lie down v'ein macharid, and you'll not worry. V'chilu fonim rabim and ufilu fonecha rabim. According to the Mitzvah, this means that there's hope for you yet. Eev, you'll be your health will be restored. And you'll go back to the good old days when the rabbim, the great people, will come and seek you out. They'll daven to you. They will make requests from you. Pasuk Yitesh the Mitzudos v'ravatzta kasher tarbeit tirbatz lanuach ein mi yacharitcha. When you will lie down to rest, no one will make you afraid. No one will terrorize you. You will live in a state of security. Rabim, what does it mean, rabim? It doesn't mean many. Doesn't mean there'll be a lot of collectors coming and knocking on your door for a dollar. It means the great. It means the gedolei ha'olam will come to your door and seek your advice and seek your help. Rabim, the gedolei ha'am, yochilu panecha, which means they will entreat you, they will pray to you, they will come to you and ask your advice and your help. L'malos mishaloisam b'hiyos, they will come to seek help. B'hiyos le'el yidech, because you have power. Now, the Rav Schwab, he says something beautiful. He says here, if you continue the previous theme, that is referring to death, the chafarta, the grave diggers will dig a grave, and you will lie down in your grave in peace. V'ravatzta, and it's a further state. After you're in the grave, you will be at peace. The Ein Machar, you won't have to worry about Din Shemayim and Gehenim and all these type of things. And the next words are beautiful. V'chilu fonim rabim. You'll have a lot of visitors to your kever. And when they come to your kever, they'll say, Ribbono shel Olam, save us in the zechus of Eiv. In the zechus of Eiv, I need a shirach. In the zechus of Eiv, I need the parnasa. You'll be a tourist attraction. You'll be like a mukah. It'll be they'll tie red strings around your kever and they'll sell it. It'll be a business. So that's how Rav Shab says. V'chilu means to pray. Take the word pray in its most literal sense. Who are they going to pray to? It's very strange. According to the Mesudos, it's a very strange expression. V'chilu, Eov, don't worry, you're going to be healed. And then people are going to come visit you. And when they come visit you, they're going to ask for help. Do you really use the word v'chilu when you come to ask a human being for help? Okay, so the Mesudos says, yeah, it's an expression, v'chilu, to entreat. Well, they'll seek up.
They compare it to Bayechal Moshe.
Okay. So it's not, but Rav Shrab says, v'chilu means they're going to pray not to you, they're going to pray to Hashem. For necha, in your presence, meaning in your zechus, Rabim, the great or many, will come and use your makom, your tzin, as a place for tefillah makasha. Beautiful interpretation. Okay, one more pasuk, and we'll finish the perek. V'enei rishon tichlem. This is a very interesting idea, which is very good for the seder. Very good for the seder. Maybe we should really get. I'll just try to finish up. V'enei rishon tichlena. The eyes of the wicked will wither away. What's a good translation for techlena? Da'avon liba. Will be finished off. Umanos avad minhem. Refuge will be lost from the wicked. V'sikvasam, and their hope, mapach nofesh, will dissipate. Will just be a state of da'avon libo, aggravation. And their hope will turn into nothing but aggravation and giving up for their neshama. Now, so in other words, what he's concluding here is a very interesting concept. Where he's concluding his statement: Eve, don't worry, good things are going to happen, and the wicked, they'll suffer, they'll disappear. Why is it necessary always to finish off with the wicked? We do the same thing on the Seder. Seder, Shvoich HaMoschel HaGoyim. It's a very violent. You see, if you wrote the Haggadah, one thing I can be certain: if they wrote the Haggadah today, they would say it's politically incorrect.
Yeah, I just read an article.
Politically incorrect, I'm sure, probably the reform. They'll probably say, today in the 21st century, it's violence. Such.
They've written it already,
right? It's not politically correct to write such a thing.
Yeah.
Your whole Yeshaya is filled with this. The tzaddikim, and the Rishayim, let them have it.
They blame it on the Crusades, you know.
Okay, and the Crusades, but this is way before the Crusades.
They blame that part of the Seder. They claim it originated as a result of the Crusades. And
interesting. Is that really true? Is Shafak Hamas from the time of the Crusades? Not likely. Shafak Hamas L'Chaira was but the whole corporation L'Chaira Shafak Hamas existed. I think they can trace it way before the Crusades.
I can't
imagine that it was added only 1,000 years ago. It's not likely. Okay, but the point.
That's
the 1600s.
Smolensky. You're talking about
Avraham
and Musa, right?
Oh, that's the Crusades. That's for sure the Crusades.
That's much later.
Yeah, but this I can't say. This idea that the Rishayim, the eyes of the Rishayim shall tichlena, shall cease, and their refuge shall be lost from them, and their hope shall wither away in a state of agmas nefesh. It's a concluding theme that we always have throughout Tanakh, and it has to probably be understood that full reward demands wicked suffer. That's a tzaddik. You, Eve, will get what you deserve. You're a tzaddik. You'll do tshuva. Hashem will have rachmanis upon you. You'll be rewarded. And part of the reward will only be complete when your enemies get what they truly deserve. Let's see the Mitzudot Stavik Pasik Chaf. Vein Rishon Aval Rishon Im Goydel Hatzlochasam. Despite their success, Sef Tichlen and Aim, their eyes will wither away. Kilo Yasigu Teichaltam. They will not achieve. They will not achieve their hope. Kasha Yavo Yimei Hapakuda. When their time comes upon them, Yoivad Mehem will be lost from them. V'Hamonos, and their escape, their refuge. Kilo Yimsu. They will not find Milanos. They love the Lazar. They're not going to find a place where they can escape. Okay, there's really more to discuss, and it's out of time, so we'll leave this for tomorrow. I want to do this better.